In the studio now with us is Pamela Badilla, who has produced for the past 10 years a wonderful play, a different original play every year with all kinds of youth from Hudson and adults. And this year's play is called The Rooster and the Crocodile, and it plays, let me see if I get this right, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at 7 p.m. at the Hudson Middle School every night, and it's free admission. Let's get your mic up there. Bring it down a little bit there. And
okay.
Now we can hear you a little bit. There you go.
We'll be at the newly named Hudson Intermediate School, but it's the same location on Harry Howard Avenue, across from the Fireman's Home. All performances are at 7 p.m. The production is offered by Diata Diata International Folkloric Theater with assistance from the Columbia and Greene County Councils on the Arts through the DEC grant program. And I have to say, this is something that you don't want to miss, not only because of all the wonderful work that people are putting together as far as the cast and crew, but just to see what hands-on is like when they get together and create costume, decor, and all this on their own after having it being designed. And then just seeing them work together, such a wonderful thing. And then to have it where a full crowd of people come and appreciate it is so rewarding. So come on and enjoy. The Rooster and the Crocodile will feature other stories of ancestral Africa as well.
So you want to tell us a little bit about the story? Last year, I think it was water was the theme?
Yes, last year was called Mai, which is in Lingala, a Central African language. It means water, and we celebrated the wonders of water because I had very great important thoughts. For me, they were important about how water should be considered universal. I had issue with it being privatized and how many people did not have access to clean water, and which is causing deaths of hundreds of thousands of children a year. And I really took issue with that, so I wanted to do something that was very upbeat and celebratory about how wonderful water is and was, and it was very well appreciated. So this year, we decided to go back into the traditions of folk life stories, because you can teach just about anything and share any type of a feeling or an emotion or theme through the telling and appreciation of stories. People can identify with the characters, particularly when they're not human sometimes. When they're animal characters, we look at them and somehow translate that animal's character to our own, and we can feel an identity with that personality. And so The Rooster and the Crocodile is a very old traditional story that puts truth against lie in one sense, but at the same time, and we kind of veered off that one or other kind of point of view, and we developed the idea that there are several feelings that could mean that someone who you find in the wrong might have a point of view to himself or herself that's so intense that they don't see that as wrong. And sometimes it's important to see the nuances of an idea, so you don't see a clear-cut right or wrong sometimes, but you see, each person has a viable point of view which they maintain and they defend. And so there is a conflict we have to resolve between the rooster and the crocodile, and there are many other animals who are involved in this land who try to put their influence into the discussion. And we'll see on the evening of May 26th and through the 28th whether or not that conflict is resolved and how people approach to resolve it, how actually animals approach to resolve it.
And I'm sure this year's show has all kinds of special effects or great theatrical effects that last year with the water show, you did all kinds of spectacular things with like confetti and it's water or bubbles and
We had bubbles. We had glow in the dark scene.
We
did a progressive lowering into the water, deeper. We created characters that were deliberately not human and not recognizably underwater creatures, so that we could think that perhaps there is someone living in this world, on this planet, who also needs water, who we're defying their need of it by abusing it and polluting it, and without even knowing who they are, we're taking away from their needs as well. So I wanted it to be a point where there's such a universal need of this element. It's been here since the Earth has existed, and I could not understand how there are people who believe that they should own it and keep others from having it, and in some very reprehensible means that they're going about to keep it from those who need it most. And in children, when I learned that there are so many children dying just for the need of clean water. I was very, very upset, so I wanted to do something to bring attention to that. Which there is a movie, it's called Flow.
Yes, I've heard.
It's free, it's offered. You can go flowthemovie.com and get it, and it tells you a lot about the world water crisis. But that was last year's direction because I wanted to put the attention onto that. And this year I wanted to put an understanding of respect for animals by giving them personality and character that we can identify with in one sense. And also I wanted to draw the attention to the idea of conflict and resolution. Because right now in the world we're hearing a whole lot of, oh my goodness, people hurting each other, killing each other. Folks can't even sit on the same table and discuss a point of view because they're so adamantly opposed. And I understand and respect that there are differences of opinion. I do believe that anger has its place, but I also believe that anger needs to be handled in such a way that it is productive to finding a solution to the cause of the anger, not just reacting emotionally, but taking a moment and reflecting upon what it truly is, the real source of this emotion, to try to really truly resolve it at its source. And so in this production, we're going to try to bring that point of view to the attention of people, and I hope someone will let me know if they did feel that we were successful in bringing that.
And who all is involved in this play? The plays I've seen, you've had kind of all ages.
Absolutely. That's one of our themes. We're Jata Jata. It simply means, in the traditional language of Congo, it means, you know, step by step, move on, walk on. You know, you're going forward. I believe that this is an adventure, this life experience. It's a very wonderful, you know, happy, sad, good, bad. It's still an adventure. It's still wonderful to be able to feel, just to be able to feel something, to have a body and a mind and a soul and be able to emote and be able to absorb feeling and produce other feelings. It's important then to translate that into the form that is everyday life. And you step forward each moment, appreciating the adventure for what it's worth as we go through the life experience. And so, as Jata Jata, we want to use that to teach. And we teach that a community is dynamic when it engages all members. Everybody has a place. So I never turn anybody away who wants to come to the play. I don't hold auditions. Everyone who comes for the casting call gets in if they comport themselves respectfully. I find a role for everyone. And then we develop the play. Sometimes I've even written in new scenes because I found someone with such a talent to express something that needed to be added that I put that scene in. And that's the advantage of being the creator of something. You can always, you know, develop it. But it's important to have a multi-generational community so we can respect our elders and know that they're viable components to a community. They're not someone to be pushed aside and forgotten. But their words are like gold just falling from their mouths. They teach us lessons of life through their experiences. You can even hear them tell you stories about errors that they've made. And you don't have to make the same mistake by having respect enough to sit down humbly and listen and learn. And then we also turn and respect our young people. We don't, you know, curse them and defile them and abuse them, but we respect them so that they can know to respect us. It's how you carry yourself. And we teach them with compassion, but a sternness. You know, you have to have a certain sense of, you know, I'm not your little buddy. I'm an elder. So you must respect me as an elder as I respect you as youth. You represent my past. And as an elder, I represent your future. And this is a metaphorical scene of symbolism, but we use a lot of these symbols to help us direct our path.
All right, I'm Tom Rowe, and you're listening to the WGXC Afternoon Show, and sitting here with me is Pamela Badilla, who is putting on the Rooster and the Crocodile play all weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at 7 p.m. at the Hudson Intermediate School over on Harry Howard Avenue. And this is the 10th year. Oh, it's a free event, and this is the 10th year of these wonderful plays. Is it always Memorial Day weekend that you do this?
No. Actually, we started using Memorial Day weekend last year because it became inconvenient to use the weekend that we traditionally use was the weekend preceding Memorial Day. But my daughter had prom, and so we had to change it. Now, we realized that there are some people who were able to help us with lighting and sound and technical support, which was very necessary, and they were very knowledgeable who were not available except for Memorial Day weekend because the previous weekend they're engaged. So we're doing it this weekend again to make it more practical.
And you were telling me a little bit before, how did these plays get started? 10 years ago was, I guess, 2001.
No, actually, we did it. 2002 was the first
2002.
Play. This is now 10 years.
Yeah, I see. Yes.
But I've always been a storyteller. I've always been engaged in theatrics and dance and music and the performing and visual arts. And I had proposed to the then director of the youth department, it was Richard Tracy. I had constantly gone over there and been, you know, bothering him about what I wanted to offer, I wanted to bring to these kids. I saw a lot of kids running around, you know, looking like they were bored, getting into trouble. And I had something I knew that they would appreciate. And I know that the power of storytelling, when they're engaged in the story, they're part of it, they're acting it, would put their minds into a more grounded, focused place, which would give them a sense of direction, which I knew would be positive. And he had the courage to actually ask me one day, what have you got? You know, and I proposed it to him. I gave him the outline, and he accepted it. He put the funding behind it. His staff helped me out. And we produced the very first of all of these plays at the Department of Youth's Boys and Girls Club. At the time, it was called the Boys and Girls Club, and we transformed the whole place downstairs into a theater. All the furniture was pushed aside, chairs set up. We had a nice scenery set up. Dick Moran from Old Hudson produced all the, you know, fabric for the costumes. People came out of everywhere to help us. It's always this wonderful feeling about community that I have when you need something, really, really, truly need it. It happens. People come up and step up to the plate. So we were able to do the play called Matondo, The Essence of Giving Thanks, which is what I wanted to begin everything with and which I do every day. When I start the day, I give thanks just for being able to live and breathe and see the sun and look at people in their face and know that I'm not alone in a community, but I'm involved with other people who can, as we say, giving is receiving. So you give, you know, your good feeling of joy to be alive and your interest in, you know, adding to the dynamics of community by helping somebody. And it's something that you receive as well. It's like a reciprocity that I find very, very intriguing and very satisfying. And it gives me the motivation to continue. So Matondo was our first. The director of the Columbia County Arts Council came and saw it. Very enthused. It was John Hanvick, and he helped us find a way of doing the applications for funding, and we've been receiving now 9 consecutive grants through the decentralization program of the Columbia and Greene County Councils on the Arts, and we're very, very, just very humbly appreciative of their confidence in us.
How do you think, I guess in terms of doing the play, how has Hudson changed over the 10 years? Is it easier to do the play now, or are there more people interested? Or
Yes, we're able to fill the theater even. I remember we did it that year, the first at the middle school was our second year, 2003, we did a reprise of Matondo, and then we saw that the people were not coming out so much, and then we didn't have the same skills of marketing, or if you say promotion. Our kids were very much younger, so they weren't as well known in the community, and they weren't able to get that information out. There was no radio station here to help promote it. There were not as many people seemingly interested in what we were offering. But then again, Hudson has evolved in a lot of the sense of spirit of what Hudson as a community is. That's important to note. When we first came here, there were some very, very unfortunate experiences that we had with some of the people here who didn't appreciate an African family. And we did have to go through I'll just gently call it hazing in the beginning, but because people didn't really appreciate what we were about. And then little by little, they realized, and that's how it always happens, through an example. You can't just conform someone's mind because you say, you know, we're here, we're your friends. You have to actually just be yourself, and they'll learn by seeing how you are and realizing your sincerity and see how you engage with your family, with your children, in rapport with them and their children. And little by little, we gained a lot of respect from the community. We received a lot of solidarity and support. And now every single year, the crowds are bigger and bigger. People are promoting it through in their stores, in their companies, in their businesses. People are talking about us everywhere. And word of mouth for this type of work anyway is the most endearing as well as effective way of promoting it. People like what we do and they come back to see it again. And every show now, they're well attended. And people always give us very great appreciation and they see it's a lot of work. And, you know, we don't charge admission, but they still try to offer us some kind of assistance. Sometimes if I forget to put a bucket out, somebody will come up to me and offer us something to help put back what we spent, because we always go over budget. Right now, we're out of pocket. And if anybody comes to the show, we're not going to charge them admission, but we never, ever refuse donations, because we are certainly needing it, you know. And particularly this year, we're going to the Congo to visit and celebrate the 52nd anniversary of the National Ballet Foundation, and Mr. Badila is one of the founders of that ballet. So the whole family is going to go back and demonstrate how he has been an ambassador to that culture, teaching his children to perform the dances and teach them the language. And they'll realize that he has not been one of those people who go away and forget their homeland, but actually has continued keeping that culture thriving. And we're going to go back later on this fall and produce that.
And I guess there's a little bit of a running joke around Hudson that whenever there's a stage or a performance, there's a Badila on on it. Into how many Badila?
It's often true. By the way, tomorrow, I know Ryder Cooley's having a performance over in Helsinki, and there will be a Badila there.
Lady Moon's back in town, right?
No, tomorrow. She'll be back in town tomorrow. She'll be back in town tonight for dress rehearsal. They're on tour now. They're doing the Green Meadows Farm Festival of Cultures tour. So they go... They were in Connecticut, they were in Long Island, now they're in Floral Park. They're going to be touring until mid-June. But they've been very, you know, conscientious about this production week. So they're driving down at night and then driving right back after the tour afternoon program.
She's,
to do four
she's going
shows
to school in Manhattan
she's
now?
She's doing Hunter College. She's going to she's just finished one year this week at Hunter College. She's studying music theory and composition. And
is she your oldest daughter? Or?
No, the oldest is going to be 40 this year. We have 10 goodness. Children altogether.
I can't keep track of them all.
No, there's some you haven't met, but there are 10 altogether. Mr. Badila had 3 kids when I met him. We have had 7 more together, and now we have 8 grandkids, and it's a throng.
And almost all of them are performers? All of them
are performers.
I think there was a boxer in there, isn't there?
Gunga, by the way, Gunga, the gorilla,
he won
his first mixed martial arts fight in Clifton Park.
I saw that. Yeah, that I think it was in the paper that he won.
His first one, yeah.
So you've got... athletic winners and artistic winners in the family.
I think it's always a win situation when you have those elements that are very important to build anything. And I think community starts with family anyway. We have a lot of very strong affection for us. In fact, my husband and I will be celebrating our 30th anniversary next year. We'll be having some kind of party, and I know it's going to be loud, because we want to demonstrate that the consideration of loyalty, compassion, and very strong tenderness that's balanced with discipline, you know, structure, and really having a certain focus where you don't weave back and forth on what you really, really believe in, and you move forward like that. And I think that will strengthen any ensemble, family, then community, and state, nation, world. It would be built well by starting with a true sense of respect for each other and an affinity where you have empathetic feelings. So I know if you're suffering, I can't ignore that. I have to kind of feel your pain. And that makes it so the community is stronger always.
And this is Tom Rowe, and you're listening to the WGXC Afternoon Show. And we're talking to Pamela Badila, who is putting on The Rooster and the Crocodile Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at the Hudson Intermediate School. It's a free performance at 7 p.m. each night. They're now packed houses, especially, I guess, on Saturday night. You should probably get there early to get a good seat. Who all's in this year's production?
We have children from every single school in Hudson, and also the Waldorf School in Harlemville. We have adults. Some of them are parents of those children. And over the years, I find very, very charming when we have people who one year it'll be the mother who'll perform, and then this year the mother and son are performing together. Or we have one family, 3 generations of the same family are all performing with us. And this is for the last 8 years. They've been in every play since they saw how much fun the kids were having, and they said, next year we're going to be in it. And every year we have, even my mother has come up 3 times to perform in several plays. So we have a range of from 80 years old down to sometimes 4. This year we have only 32 people in the cast. And I'm saying only 32 because we've had cast upwards of 50 people. When we did the revival of The Fittest with the Supremes and James Brown and the Beatles and all that, it was so, so exciting. We had 62 people in that cast.
Crazy. Wow. And Diata does more than just this one play every year.
No, of course. We're at an international folkloric theater, so we had a basic route when we started in Paris, when I was living in France, where I met Andre Elombe. Badila. We found it to be necessary to educate through the music, song, dance, and storytelling arts, because there were audiences in Europe and elsewhere who didn't really understand Africa as being this continent of many nations and having enormous natural wealth. They had this strange idea of Africa being very primitive and people struggling, barely eating, and, you know, everybody's having either war or starving or, you know, waiting for somebody to come and help them, which is so not the case. There are issues that have caused that to come about because of elements from outside having a lot to do with how things are operated inside. And we don't deal in politics. We just look at the effects, particularly on children. And we notice that there's a great need for more understanding about how wealthy this continent is in folk life through the arts and also through the real humanity of how people have such great and endearing traditions throughout their lives. Children are taught about how to respect themselves, and then they respect nature and each other. And when you go to Africa and meet any child, you will notice that even if they don't have shoes, they have such a deep and abiding love for life that they're smiling with their beautiful natural teeth, and they're smiling and loving life and giving you respect and respecting themselves. And that's such a wonderful thing. And when I look at that, then I look here and I see there are a lot of wonderful children here too, but a lot of misguided kids who use language that's offensive, who engage in activities where they try to become something that they're not. I know that the media and TV and all that has a lot to do with it, but there's a lot to be done also at home by grounding a child in limitations where children don't have adult reference become their own, and so they know there's a limit. There's a lot that needs to be done, I think, in guiding and protecting children by affecting more of our role of not allowing them to believe that everything adults do, they should be able to also do. It's just not correct, and it causes a lot of conflict. I know, I've seen the effects of it. But anyway, I think that it's important for us as a family to lead by example, and then as a production company to offer educational theater, or I sometimes say educating theater, because it teaches through these little stories that we write, and people seem to agree. They come out and enjoy it.
And Pamela, you're also one of, there's three or four different local community members who are on our radio theater team to produce radio theater for the station. Mm-hmm. And you've been working on a radio theater piece for a while now.
Yes. I've written so far, well, many, many episodes, but I've finally learned how to type a little bit, so I'm on the computer. So I've typed up seven. We've taped seven, and we're preparing them now with the sound effects and editing, but I call it come in unity, so that we can think of, you come together in unity and you can build great things and establish a dynamic so that the community becomes stronger. Also, it's like you say, come in unity. Like, that would be the one element who's always invited. You're always welcome. Unity, just come on in here and make us realize that we look different, we eat different food, we have maybe different ways of seeing a God or how we dress, but there's something that's about all of us. And I often tell it in some of my stories that you can't even argue without oxygen. You have that in common already. If nothing, you can ignore. Don't ignore that. You need oxygen, and you all are based in water. These elements that keep you as an ensemble united. Let that be what we find that unites us, and then we can continue from there and find more, because there always is lots more in common with people than there is that differs them. And some of the conflicts that arise don't have to go so far. We had a play about that too, conflict that went so far. It started with marbles and stuff and ended up having war. And everything was gone but that one tree of life that was called, in the play. And then there was one. There was that one hope, one chance, one maybe way of seeing that there is something better than all this conflict. And it was the orphans of the war who found it, and they planted that final tree of hope. I do believe, and I get very emotional about it, because when I write that play, Come in Unity, it's going to be everyday people, everyday life, scenes of what could go on, folks you could identify with. But little by little, we evolve, and you'll see there are things that you can look at in any situation that could go smoother if people would be less greedy, less arrogant, less jealous of someone else's success, certainly less angry without finding a source of the anger and resolving it in an efficient way so we can move forward without that biting feeling that makes you unhappy to be in the presence of someone. That could be resolved. I truly believe it. So with the theater play, I'm going to try to evolve stories that, you know, come better nicely, you know.
And are you doing a show at the Waterfront Park this summer?
We have not been invited to that production. I wanted to go. We have had one a couple of years ago, but I have not been there.
Or anything else coming up?
We have, Chatham Fair, we do our artwork. My husband is very prolific in painting, and he has for 44 years produced what we call The Gift of Nature, is his original paintings. And they represent ancestral scenes of hunters and, you know, fishermen and such, which he says each one is a painting for one individual because they're always one of a kind. He does not ever copy or authorize copies. And they're designed to bring back an image of like a flashback to the past, how things, when animals graze peacefully and birds fly and the scenes are so flush with vegetation, and you just see the abundance of beauty and color of the world, or even black and white silhouette scenes of just individuals or a family portrait, just something that shows you an uplifting image of the world, which is how we like to look at the world, because there's enough of that other image. And so we have the art we produce. We go out in the city and do art shows and sell paintings, try to, you know, make a living. We're self-employed artists, basically. We contract and work in the schools, in the after-school program, which, please let me take a second and thank the after-school program, particularly the Golden Hatch, who has been very, very supportive of what we're trying to do and helping us with materials and things that we need to put together, you know, for the play with paint, you know, sometimes helping us with paper and just being very patient with our scheduling, because I should be at work at this time, but I'm not because I'm at the, you know, school doing my dress rehearsal. And so they're very, very supportive. And I've always noticed that the more people support each other, the better you can build something. So, yeah. We're going to be doing that type of work. You know, we'll be performing. If somebody calls me today, then we'll, if the conditions are right, we'll gather everything together. As my son says, suit up, put on all of our regalia, our paint, and our feathers, and go out and perform and teach through the music, the song, the dance, and, of course, the folk life stories that we celebrate every day.
All right, why don't you give us the details one more time on the play this weekend?
So we're going to all come in groves and throves and throngs to the Hudson Intermediate School. The play opens tomorrow, Thursday evening, May 26th, and it runs through the 28th. All shows are at 7 p.m. It's free, absolutely free, open to the public. I would suggest coming early because we play nice music while the audience is seating, and also because you want to get a good seat. There are some special effects, particularly the costumes, which are all handmade, and I have burns from glue sticks. You better come out there and support us so we can not think I did that for nothing. We want you to all be there. Just enjoy seeing the kids, you know, looking so proud of themselves, which they are, when they know they've accomplished something great. And to see parents and children working together and playing together, I don't think there is anything more beautiful to see.
Yeah, and if you have a child that is interested in the theater, you should definitely bring them out, because they're going to see other children up on the stage doing what they want to do and see that they can do it themselves too. And it's a great family experience bring the whole family all this weekend to the Rooster and the Crocodile at the Hudson Intermediate School at 7 p.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for free.
And if you need any more information or you'd like to contact Data International Folkloric Theater for any future engagements, or perhaps to come and do theatrical sketches or teach your organization, your school, whoever. We teach music, dance, theater. We teach drumming. We have engagements of percussion ensemble. And we have a full educational concert program and follow-up workshops. You can call me, Pamela Badila, at 828-0594. That would be in the 518 area code. And we'd be very happy to speak to you.
All right. Well, we'll let you get back to dress rehearsal. Sure it's the you have a lot to do the night before the play. But we'll play a little Lady Moon live performance that we have in here. Hopefully people will come down to the Hudson Intermediate School Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to see the Rooster and the Crocodile at 7 p.m. each night. So thanks so much for coming in telling us all about it, Pamela.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Okay. Bye-bye.